What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
It was just that easy. ABC, get off to a good start. Hang on for the win. Milwaukee avoids going down 0-3 in their series with the Nets as they have neither team got to 90, by the way, so let's not talk about the masterpiece that it was, but it was a win. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. And Monica McNutt joins us this morning, as Key says, Auntie Mon is with us, so we got to be on our best behavior.
Hi, guys.
What's happening?
What's happening?
It's Friday. I'm happy to be here.
You're always happy to be here.
I mean,
I've never seen you where you're not happy to be anywhere.
The alternative is to be
one
underground.
You're one of the happiest people I know.
Come on, let's go. I appreciate that. That's all a good way to be.
Well, I mean, are we happy with what we saw out of the Bucks last night?
Happy might be aggressive. They needed to get a win. I don't think that they blew my socks off in terms of, oh, they're back.
Right.
No, it was an ugly basketball game. Below 90? Yuck.
Yeah, for both teams. And for the Nets, again, you get a poor shooting performance from them, which is like just like their game three against Boston. But they still could have won that game. Like, they had two possessions to win it. In fact, they had the lead late on KD's three, and you thought maybe they could get it. Jrue Holiday with a terrific play. No timeout, just get to the basket and score. And he does that. But how about this? So Chris Middleton finally gets back on track. He had a great first quarter. He and Giannis combined to score 79% of the Bucks' points.
Well, that's what they should do.
The whole offense.
I mean, especially Giannis. Giannis should have dominated the game the way he did, especially in the paint. I cringe when I see him outside the paint.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand the game of basketball has changed from the bigs. Bigs all want to shoot threes now. But when you are as dominant as he is inside the paint and have the size to be able to dominate the smaller opponent, that's what you do. I mean, he 6'11", whatever it is, with his wingspan taking him even higher, you just go down low and you just play bully ball into the point where I don't care if they take me to the foul line. Don't be afraid.
I would be afraid if he went to the foul line.
Yes,
he doesn't get free throws.
Very.
Yes, you are afraid. But if they're fouling me because I'm in the paint and I'm going to the foul line, at some point, I'm going to make a couple of those shots as he did late in the game.
Yeah, he was 4 for 9.
It's going to hurt him. And so that's the way I look at it.
He goes for 33 points, 14 rebounds. That would be Giannis. And then Middleton gives you 35. And the most important part of it was his shooting. It was 12 of 25. Looked more like the Chris Middleton we've seen, as the Robin to Giannis's Batman all year long. And that's the important part. That 79% of the offense, by the way, is the highest of any duo in NBA playoff history. And that's some great duos you think about, right, that have been dominant in the NBA, and no one has ever provided that much of their team's offense.
Do you know what that means? Those other duos have had better teams around them.
Well, of course.
Right? Like, yeah. I'm not impressed with this, to me. Anything that happens in the playoffs at this point, my question always becomes sustainability. And if you ask me if I had to bet on KD and Kyrie in particular, having another shooting night like he had last night, I don't see that. Can these two keep up 79% of this team's production, keep the Nets under 90, and get a win? Perfect storm. I don't see it happening three more times.
Interesting. Yeah, perfect storm. Kyrie, 9 for 22, 2 of 8. Still had 22 points, but, just wasn't the Kyrie that we saw in the first two games. And how about Joe Harris? 1 for 11 for the Nets. This is one of the best shooters in the game.
He touched the Space Jam ball. His powers are temporarily gone. We got to get him together.
That was 1 for 7.
Y'all was 1 for 8.
This is Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, again, Monica kind of touched on it. After this, while we were watching it, and Key, I texted you and Jay during the game, and I said, it was 30 to 9 at one point? 32 to 11 was the first quarter score. I didn't trust it. I'm not trusting what I see out of the Bucks here at all. And sure enough, it was a 2-point game at halftime, and the Nets actually had to lead late in the game and could have won the game. So did the Bucks get back in the series, or was this just like the Celtics series for the Nets, bad game? And game four, they'll be that team that we expect
much
to
like
see.
Monica said, you can't depend on the Nets shooting woes, like especially Kyrie, continuing game four. So I don't think that they got back in it like that. I think it's still going to go back to Brooklyn for game five at 3-1. I mean, that's just what I could see.
Right.
You know, and so in the end, a bad inbounds play.
Woo, talk about it.
Oh, my God.
Cost the Nets the game, essentially.
Terrible play.
I mean, it just, you know, for whatever reason, whoever designed it, whatever, the ball.
The inbounds play, yeah, not the design. The actual pass. The actual pass.
The side out. Get it together.
Was a dribbler to the other side of the court. And so Kyrie gets it, and then he gives it to Brown. But then Brown, to me, panics when he got plenty of time. And I don't think he was aware of where he was at in the time. Mm-hmm. Instead of just figuring out what to do with it, he decided he was going to go to the cup and didn't finish strong after having a bad night shooting as well.
The whole thing fell apart. But the Jrue Holiday play, and Jrue didn't have a great game, but his play.
The layup, yeah.
Deciding to go at, you know, go at. And Brown was, by the way, and he scores on Brown. Brown mm-hmm. had a great game. Brown's the reason why the Nets got back in the game. Like, he was fantastic in that second quarter. So it's not to put anything on him. But this game was more about what are we going to see out of Milwaukee. You know, you saw, you know, Woj talked about it. He was on SportsCenter, and he said, you know, those in the front office are monitoring Coach Bud right now. Mike Budenholzer, there was a lot of criticism of him after the first two games of the series. And it was, we'll see how they look in game three, because if not, there were fans during the game. I was following on Twitter. Fans during the game in the second quarter when the Nets, it was like 19-3 in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And they were like, fire him now. During the game, like, fire, get him out of here. Now,
none of this is a secret, though. Like, when you sign Jrue Holiday, Giannis gets the super bag, you got close to 400 mil tied up in those two. None of this is a secret. The one thing I do appreciate from yesterday's game is that the Bucks came out swinging, right? There was a level of intensity there. There was intentionality there. Giannis was getting to his spots, and he was scoring. In the first two games, they just felt like they was just out there. Like, oh, these guys are going to win. What are we going to do? Yesterday, at least, it felt like they were fighting.
It was a lot of fake enthusiasm to me. Like, when Giannis, I couldn't even take that serious.
I agree. And look at the final score.
I was just saying to myself,
but it was better than what we had seen in the first two games, though.
I understand that, but the meme mug didn't even do nothing to me.
Didn't translate?
No.
This wasn't a game where you're like, all right, now we got a series. Like, I never felt like that in this game. I never felt like, okay, now we've got a series.
And then I'm looking at the fans.
We're not going to feel like that, I don't think.
Wow. The fans were so excited to win, though. They was just like,
they were hyped, yeah.
That was
their biggest crowd they had in Milwaukee since the pandemic.
For the home team, that has to feel great. I mean, shout out to game two here in New York. Like, shout out to the
I didn't want to bring New York up. I didn't want to dig at the Knicks, but that's what it felt like. It felt like
I'm saying the fans should enjoy it.
It was crazy though. They was extremely excited and hyped about that victory. I'm like, do you not realize that you could have been crying in this situation? Because if they knocked that down, they didn't.
Let the fans have their moment. Now, this is a whole different conversation. Do I think did the Bucks impress me enough to say we have a series?
That was my question.
But should the fans have absolutely enjoyed every last drop
and
moment?
No. I think what Keith's saying is how I felt watching the game. Is I never felt like if I was a Bucks fan, I would be like, I don't like this at all. Like, we don't look like we've got any control of this series. This is like this game.
Think about it, though, Monica. You said at the beginning, Kyrie's not going to shoot like that again. They scored 86 points.
Okay.
They scored 86 points with 79% coming from their two big aces their points.
What are we talking about, though? Are we talking about the basketball? Because we agree on the basketball part. Or are we talking about I have an issue with y'all saying the fans should have enjoyed their game.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they were super hyped.
Yeah.
So to me, everything was artificial.
Yeah, he's saying that the energy didn't match what we were seeing.
Yeah, it didn't match. It wasn't like if they scored 120 to 83 and the fans was acting like that,
this is going to be serious. Chris Middleton comes on after going 6 of 23 in one of them games or whatever dismally he shot in game two. So to see your guys at least compete. To me, how bad they looked in 1 and 2.
See them at least. Who are you, Coach Bud now?
Compared
to Budenholzer. Are you taking his script?
Listen, they looked
like
the bottom of my shoe in games 1 and 2. Like, I'm going to give the fans, I'm going to let them have all the artificial
energy they want.
They can
have it, but I'm not giving it to the Bucks. I still don't trust them. And I still think Coach Bud is probably on thin ice right now with this team, where they are right now. There's no doubt about it. But they get the win. Okay, so we'll see now what happens in a game 4. But Middleton, by the way, his first quarter, he already outdid whatever he did in the first two games. In one quarter, he outperformed what he did in the first two games. So it was nice that they got him to show up. By the way, the Jazz get a win, so they're up 2-0 against the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell goes off again. And it's funny because before that game, Ty Lue was like, we got to do something with Donovan Mitchell. We got to slow him down. We got to make him uncomfortable. And all Mitchell did was just light up Paul George and go for 37 in that game. And that is a 2-0 now for the Utah Jazz. That was Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. A lot to get to. Kendrick Perkins is going to join us several times throughout the show to get more into the NBA stuff. But we now move on to the NFL because there's a nickname for Mac Jones that we think is funny. But Keith thinks it's way too cheesy.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
I think in the wearing number 50, he looks elusive. Or does it make him look stronger? Does it make him look tougher? That's the question.
It looked like he lost his jersey. Is what it looked like.
It looked like somebody stole the actual jersey. Discussing Mac Jones, the rookie quarterback for the Patriots, and if you don't know the story, he's wearing number 50 right now because that's just what they do to rookies in New England.
I think I would rather wear a weird number than have my name taped on the back of my helmet.
Taped.
Yeah, because some teams and coaches will tape the name on the back of your helmet when you're like a rookie. You know, I don't like that.
That's
like,
the hello, my name is, because you're new?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Then they grab your helmet, turn your head around just to see the back of your helmet.
I have the jersey.
Weird number.
Bart Scott says that's a story. Like, he tells that story about who was it that grabbed him one time and when he was a rookie. And turned him around, like physically, like Warren Sapp or somebody just grabbed him and just spun him around. And who are you? Because he was just, you know,
a player, some
Bart
player.
Just being like Bart, like all energy and whatnot. And there's some vets just like, who is this guy that just will not dial it down? So he grabs him, flips him around, looks at the back of his jersey, goes, who the hell are you?
Bart,
just,
as a rookie, probably is imagine hysterical.
That. Yeah, right? He was always at a 10.
I was accused many times of not knowing my teammates' names, but.
You probably were that super snobby vet. That's
I was cool with a lot of rookies. It's just some people I don't like. Number 12.
I don't
12,
know your name.
Number okay. 9. Like,
that's the Ricky Henderson story? Do you know that Ricky Henderson story? About how he was playing cards, I think, in the clubhouse of whatever team he's on. And it's like, you know, hey, he's literally playing cards with somebody, a teammate. And he's like, he doesn't know any of his teammates' names. Really? Yeah, watch, I'll show you. Hey, Ricky, what's his name? And he looks at the guy and he's like, I don't need to tell him his name. He knows what it is.
Well, it's so many. You got so many players, you know, coming in and out. It's players that have been on teams with me that I've seen later in life. Like, oh, yeah, I used to play with you with the Jets. You're like,
you did?
So basically, know my name because I'm not going nowhere. That's what you're saying.
No, I just they come in and out, you know. When
you
start
put
to get,
the time in.
When you
That's
start to
is.
Get to the bottom end of the roster – they come in and out so much.
You.
It's tough.
Yeah. And you've got to focus on you. Well, did you have nicknames? Did you go with nicknames just so you can remember somebody? I just went with a nickname.
No, because most of the frontline guys, the guys that you dealt with, you knew their names. It's just other guys you may not necessarily know. It take a minute, you know, if they make the team and they're around the building a lot and you dealt with them and they're in your unit, you would know. But if it's somebody on the other side, you're like, I think he plays defense.
He went by the number, but now you can't anymore. Well, the one way that Cam Newton gets to know his teammates, or at least remembers teammates, is he gives everybody a nickname. So his nickname for Mac Jones is Mac and Cheese. You don't like it. Face. Look at your face,
right,
man.
Because it doesn't fit.
Mac and Cheese.
I think it's perfect.
They could have called him Big Mac. Big Mac, I guess.
Big Mac. You have to earn Big Mac.
I was just about to say, the last time I was with you guys on the show, we were talking about whether or not he has swag, and you shot that immediately down. Big Mac is too swaggy.
Is it?
Yeah.
You don't think Mac and Cheese is kind of fitting?
I think Mac and Cheese is perfect. It's a little dimply.
And Cheese, it seems easier to be able to clean to say, yo, Big Mac, come here. Yeah, Mac and Cheese, come here.
Mac Jones would have to be a big dude to be called.
He's
Big
a
Mac.
Rookie.
Or Little
too.
Mac.
A Little Mac would work, but that would be disrespectful.
Mac. Easy Mac.
Easy Mac would be good.
That's
Mac Daddy
good.
Would be good.
No, that's too swaggy.
So,
too swaggy. Not Mac Daddy, no.
And he probably got no conversation at all. So Mac Daddy definitely wouldn't.
No.
Mac Daddy?
You
don't think he's got that kind of conversation? Okay.
No, I don't think he's rolling up on him like that.
Mike Reese, who's one of the best beat writers in the game, and a great beat writer, is somebody that keeps a list of things that is interesting to him and updates it. And so he tweeted out the nickname file that Cam Newton has developed with his teammates. Literally, it's like half the team. So we go through some of them, and they're actually really funny. Some of them are just basic, like Jarrett Stidham, he calls him Stiddy. Right, yeah, that's a basic fine. One, yeah. Right?
Sounds like a basic.
But like Isaiah Wynn, he calls him Winnie the Pooh. I kind of like that.
Used to be obsessed with
Shaq Mason,
Pooh.
He calls him Shaq Diesel or Freemason.
I like Freemason.
Interesting.
See, I wouldn't use the last name. I'd just say Free.
I'm sure it cuts Mason. Down to
yeah.
that eventually.
Yeah.
So Devin and Jason McCourty.
Uh-oh.
Twins.
Yes, twin yeah. one and twin two.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there's
I
no.
Would do that.
But he doesn't like specify. Like it's either or.
I wonder if he could tell.
One of them can open the other's iPhone with their Face ID. I've heard them talk about that story, but the other one
That's
can't.
Actually funny. So Bill Belichick, he's got a nickname for Bill Belichick.
Please.
Grumpy.
No. Well, no, this is a good one.
Big Bill.
It's Dollar Dollar Bill, y'all.
There it is.
Dollar Dollar Bill, y'all.
How do you think Bill responds to that?
He laughs, dry smirk. Yeah,
he's a dry smirk.
Yeah. You can dry smirk. What's a dry smirk? Can you
like,
show me?
I can't do it because I'm too expressive.
I don't know what that was, but all right, that didn't work.
It's a Bill Belichick smirk.
It's kind of like a laugh.
Yeah, like
a
he's
smile,
not really
but not
laugh,
really a smile.
But I'm
this is a great one. So Joe Cardona is called Snapper Guy.
Why? He fishes or something?
I believe he's a
long
snapper.
I don't know.
He
snapper,
drinks a lot
red
of snapper.
Snapper.
No, he drinks
a lineman.
Snapple.
I just
really
figured snapper.
These are really good.
Full
that's
beard.
Hilarious.
Julian Edelman is Highway 11. Joe Tooney is Smoking Joe. These are good ones.
I got to reach out to Cam and tell Cam he got to redo some of these.
Miles Brandt is called Nugget.
We need a story on that.
Mm. Right? So what? So we're trying to figure out, like, what are some of the worst or best nicknames that we know of in sports?
All right, so best came to me this year. It's already at the top of my list. Baylor's Davion Mitchell. His nickname is Off Night. I did a podcast with
Off Night,
the Muffet Bros. The Mullet Bros. From Baylor, and they explained that the nickname came because every time they would play somebody and he would guard their best player in the press conferences, they'd be like, "Oh, he had an off night." And so he's that good a defender.
That's really good.
That's the elite nickname,
that's
right?
That's really good.
Off night.
So now that you tell the story, yeah, the backstory, yeah. That's really great. What else, is there an NBA, legendary NBA? NBA to me has some of the best legendary nicknames. Of course, Magic Johnson's the greatest nickname in the history of sports. Don't at me. There's no better nickname.
It's just Magic.
Just Magic. But the whole name, too.
But I don't know.
Honest
I don't
to
know.
God, I thought that was
but
his
is name Magic
name.
Really a nickname?
That's what I was about to say.
His name is Irvin. Yes,
I
it's
get
a nickname.
It. I get
Nobody
it. But
ever called him that.
No one ever yeah. calls him Irvin except
Pat
like
Riley
Genie.
Does.
Like,
Pat Riley does.
And Pat Riley.
Pat Riley. Yeah. Genie would say Irvin. But his no mama. One ever calls him.
But that's why it's a great nickname.
I understand it may not
name.
Be on his birth certificate, but.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't look at it as a nickname.
Did you ever have a nickname? Like, did anybody have like one that went with that stuck with you?
Nah, not really. I mean,
Key 7-11. Is your name.
It would be Key 7-11-1-9.
7-11 is a good one.
Yeah.
Seven.
I love that.
Because I was always open. always.
Nishan.
Swag.
No, Mishon is really –
where did Mishon come from?
Mishon is for the haters. That's just – like we talked about, people that don't know me that run their damn mouth, that just be running their mouth.
That one caller called you Kiva.
Yeah, Kiva was the one that just
– Again, somebody that does not know me, has never sat down and had a conversation with me that is – probably never even seen me play. Probably never ever seen me play.
Now, Monica is one of the greatest players in the history of Georgetown basketball.
God. I think it's
Patrick Ewing, it's Allen Iverson.
I hate when you do that.
Then it's like third, Monica McNutt, maybe Dikembe.
To any of my Hoyle Zoe faithful ain't in there?
Zoe's probably
I did not
fourth,
put him up
right
this
underneath
because I would not disrespect
her.
Our guys.
Yeah, right underneath her.
Or
yeah.
girls.
But no, Monica McNutt was a great player at Georgetown.
Reggie Williams.
Can I say great player? You were a great player.
I was solid. Yeah,
you were a great player. All right. So since you were a player and a high-end player, you must have had – somebody must have had something
Buckets.
Nickname for you. Was it Buckets?
No.
No?
People called me by my last name, McNutty, some version of that.
Okay.
One of my teammates –
McNutty is fitting.
– called me McThirsty.
When he was running around thirsty.
That's a story.
I knew that was going to happen.
As we're going to break, you're going to say that?
It's not.
I got to leave that out there?
Thirsty in the context of thirsty.
Thirst trap.
I'm not saying.
Thirst trap. Huh?
Literally
really?
Thirsty. Like, I
thirst
was just crushing
trap.
A water bottle. So she's like, you always so thirsty.
Yay, she out here thirst trapping, y'all.
I had a thirst trap for the
record. So as we get more into that story, we talked about the Bucks having their backs against the wall. There's another Bucks team that's trying to avoid the same.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
To be compared to a woman is an amazing thing because literally, cradle of life. It's a privilege.
That's a fact.
That's all I'd like to add.
Nobody sounded offended by that at all.
I'm just making sure that it's clear.
Yeah, it is absolutely clear.
It is.
What still
it is.
Isn't clear, though, is the McThirsty nickname. We just need a little more detail. We might have to get one of your teammates on.
Okay, Morgan Williams, my teammate.
Yes.
I like to hydrate. I would crush. We get our bottles of water, and mine would be empty quickly. Like, I come to the bench, get my bottle of water.
Gotcha.
And so it was like, dang, Mom, you're always thirsty. I'm going to call you McThirsty.
Lies, 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 and more lies.
Listen.
Stephen A is not buying it.
Listen, I don't need to be thirsty. Didn't need to, don't need to, would not be thirsty.
Okay, putting that out there.
Any other way.
So Monica McNutt joining us here. Alan Hoth, Keyshawn Johnson, Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So we'll ask you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, the best or worst nicknames in sports. I think the greatest of all is Magic Johnson. I just think being called Magic and having it become such a name that everyone calls you that, not
but
by your Han, actual
that
given
doesn't
name.
Count.
How does it not count?
Because that's his name.
Yeah, he
though,
came
right?
to the league as Magic. He didn't earn that.
Like King James, that's a nickname.
Yeah.
He earned
Nobody
it
calls him King, though. Nobody, like, just randomly just, hey, King. Like, nobody does that.
I don't know in basketball circles. I'm sure some of his teammates probably do.
Twitter definitely calls him King James all the
time. You think his teammates call him King?
Yeah.
They call him Bron.
They might do that, too.
I don't think they call him King by himself, but Twitter definitely calls him King James. And therefore, that's a nickname.
Would you ever call a teammate King?
If that's his nickname.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't look at it like that. It's not. He's not higher than me because his nickname is King. I'm not beneath him. I just don't.
All right, so at Diz Dad on Twitter said Sweetness, end of all nicknames.
Sweetness is ridiculous.
That's a pretty damn good nickname, right?
Yeah.
Whose nickname is that? Am I showing my age?
That's Walter Payton.
Yeah, I'm a little bit.
Didn't know Walter Payton was.
I missed that. Sorry.
He was running back. He's really good.
My dad has the book. Read the part
when you just go Sweetness, everybody already know who you're talking about. Magic, we all know who you're talking about.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know.
Those are great nicknames.
Those are really.
All right. So 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
I'll just give you that so you can stop trying to force it. Magic is his nickname.
I love it.
And we'll be able to ask Magic. We'll be able to ask Magic because he'll be on our show in a week or so.
In a week or so?
Shout out to that.
Yeah, I don't know exact date. But I know he'll be
a little over a week from now.
Can you do it on a Friday?
A week from Monday.
He'll be here with us, and that'll be great. Monty is in Atlanta on this topic. Monty?
Hey, good morning, y'all. Hey, great show, man. Now, I know you said Sweetness. I feel like what said entertainer said, though, I can't call no grown man Sweetness. You know, just it goes like delicious to me. You can't call a grown man delicious. But
no, you can't. Your show can't call a grown man delicious.
You shouldn't do that.
I can't. Anyway, go ahead.
Can't call a grown man delicious. Okay. But Sweetness, but Prime Time is the most definitely one of the greatest nicknames.
Prime Time is another one.
Yeah. That is pretty good.
Because I don't even call him Dion. I call him Prime.
Yeah,
that's everybody seems to call him Prime.
What's up, Prime? Prime. Right. Yeah, I don't never.
That's a really good one.
Right, it's the same thing now that he got me on this kick and I'm thinking, it's like the playmaker. Like, I'm going to call him the playmaker. I ain't gonna never call him Michael. It's gonna always be the playmaker.
Like Air Jordan became a brand, but Air, like nobody called him Air.
No,
so
right?
I'm thinking about AI too, though, right? Like the Mike. Answer is a great nickname, but nobody, I don't think people refer to him that
No, I refer to him as Bubba Chuck.
Okay, well, that was his nickname from 757 pre NBA, but that's a cool.
I mean, that's
a family nickname.
Yeah, I guess so.
Pookie and them.
Yeah, I guess the world probably don't know Bubba Chuck.
No,
right.
So
you got AI.
Yeah, AI seems to be his.
Yeah,
NBA.
He Bubba Chuck at the crib.
Right,
but I'm talking about from a not even I don't want to say global, but from a U.S. standpoint
and brand. Yeah,
no one's walking around saying Bubba Chuck. They gonna go AI.
Agree. Right.
They gonna abbreviate as you know and say AI as initials.
Earl Monroe was Pearl in the NBA, but not when he played in Philly. He was Black Jesus in Philly. Like that was his
Taking
when he would
back.
Play
Taking back.
In the summer circuit there. And that's what the NBA guys did that back in the day. Like that's what they called him.
Mm.
But in the NBA, he was Pearl.
Like Big Ticket is good for
Ticket's
me.
Ticket's good, yeah.
Big Ticket KG.
Yeah.
That was Big Ticket.
Yeah, and he became Ticket. That got shortened just to Ticket. A lot of times guys would call him that.
But I think he
did
call
KG. Truth stick then?
Truth for Pierce?
Did it stick or was that later in his career?
See, I thought the Truth was originally a boxer.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yates?
You're not wrong. Terrible recall by me. I cannot.
You're definitely not wrong. I can't think of
it. I can't think of the boxer. Call the Truth Williams? No.
No.
What was it? It was a boxer, the Truth. It was a boxer, though, so I remember.
Yeah, no, there's several of those. Dennis is in
Williams?
Delaware.
That's what I said, Call the Truth. A boxer, right?
Yeah.
Dennis.
Yeah, Call the Truth Williams.
Mm-hmm.
We got Dennis or no? There he is.
Good morning, guys. Thanks
morning,
for taking my call.
You got it.
My favorite nickname, in 2012, the Miami Dolphins were on the HBO Hard Knock series, and the running back, Reggie Bush, yelled out to wide receiver Chris Hogan, "Hey, man, you're like 7-Eleven. You're open all the time." And that was Chris Hogan's nickname, 7-Eleven. He didn't have much of a career with the Dolphins, but, of course, New England picked them up, and Chris Hogan had 2 touchdowns and 180 yards in the AFC Championship game in 2015 against Pittsburgh. But I always loved that nickname, 7-Eleven. Mm. What do you guys think?
Well, Key, a few minutes ago, that was his nickname.
So the next
iteration, he can have it.
So I guess that becomes a thing for receivers.
But he can have it.
Waffle House was another one with that same concept. Julio's, that's Julio's nickname at some point. I knew I'd heard somebody
Waffle
say
House?
That. Waffle House is open 24/7 too. What's up in the South?
I'm
about to get yelled at, but I personally find Waffle House overrated, but I'm not a Southern chick. So, but anyway.
No, it's good though.
It's solid, but it's like not world change. Life's changing. Well,
no, we like Waffle House. It's great.
But it's good when it's 3 a.m.
Fine.
It's the best, but it's 3 a.m.
When you're 3 a.m. walking down Peachtree coming from a club because it's the Super Bowl, you're trying to figure out where to eat at.
Waffle House is
it's convenient.
No.
Chicken breast and a waffle and coffee.
Tremendous.
You have to soak up all the alcohol.
I got you. But all I'm saying is the way people rave about it. I'm not there.
How about Larry Legend? Larry Bird? Although now I guess Larry Fitzgerald apparently is Larry Legend now, too.
No, Larry Legend is weak. That's a weak nickname.
Larry Legend you don't like?
No, that's weak.
Tom Seaver was Tom Terrific.
No, that's not a nick. I mean, I feel like that's more of alliteration. That's just like English in fifth grade.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Iron Mike Tyson.
Iron Mike.
Iron Mike's the
dude. Iron Mike, pretty good. But nobody called him Iron. See, I think a nickname is what you call people.
But I call him Iron Mike. What's up, Iron Mike? I'm never
going to
say.
You are an elite person that has that type of relationship. Yeah,
yeah. No, but I'm saying most athletes are going to call him Iron Mike or Mike. They're not going to be
like. Were
they
really?
Yes, absolutely.
When I interviewed him, it was Mr. Tyson.
Well, that's because you were intimidated.
I never called him Mike. I was respectful. I wasn't intimidated. Like he was on the phone.
Like the commercials he has now.
Well, you still were spooked.
No, not in
speaking,
the least.
Speaking of intimidated, how about the nickname The Intimidator? Dale Earnhardt.
Again, like that's not something anybody called him. That was a title or something that we in the media would do.
Call in, let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm. Clear your throat.
You feel like
you're trying, man. What do you want me to do? I work all the time.
Leon is in Orlando. Leon,
better vocal care.
Leon. I work.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Leon.
Hey, you all have a great show. I love the banter, man. I love the passion with the differences of opinion, but. I think the glove for Gary Payton has to be one of the best nicknames of all time. That guy snatched everything away from everybody.
Until he came to L.A. and I told him, you got a hole in that glove, dog.
What? When did you say that?
Because I've been knowing Gary since I was a kid when he came to play for the Lakers. You know, it was, I don't know, one game they did something and we lost and defense wasn't great. I'm like, yeah, the glove. You're at the end, man. You got a hole in that glove.
You're annoying.
What did he say?
He just laughed. You know, he laughed. It wasn't a big deal.
Shaq has good nicknames. Diesel.
He got too many nicknames, though.
He does have a lot.
The Diesel was good. Superman was good. What was I call him the Big Enchilada, but that's just me.
Hey, I've decided that the Joker's nickname is also Quesarito because he got drafted during a Quesarito commercial. Y'all didn't catch that this week?
Yes. Yeah, that was a good story. Although Evan Wilner, our producer, likes to call him the Eggman because apparently it's not Jokic, it's Jokic, so it's Yoke, which he turns into that, and he thinks it's going to stick, and we're not letting that happen.
But is Joker counts as a nickname, or is that just us?
That's what they call him. You saw the T-shirts they made up for him, right?
Okay, right. So that's a good nickname.
A nickname would be the Mailman. That was a good one.
That's a good one.
He delivered sometimes.
Here you go.
Sometimes.
This man had quite a week. Right. Leave him alone. Don't start.
Up there, start. Though, with, again,
I should have mentioned him.
Don't start.
What about?
Yes, Allen. Hunt. Hunt? I call you Hunt.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger's not his name.
No, it's not his name.
But that's
his
how
name
we
is
know
Tiger
him.
Woods.
It's
just,
but it's
nobody calls him. What is
nobody
it?
Nobody calls him his name.
You guys are just killing me.
Hunt, that's not
that's
how nicknames
a, but that's
work.
How a nickname works. It's no, so it's good that's how people know you as.
No. If I only know you as your nickname,
yeah,
that's
I've been
your name.
Knowing him as Tiger his whole life.
I legitimately didn't know his name wasn't Tiger until like 2 years ago. Honest to God.
You didn't know his name was not, he wasn't, so like his born name wasn't
people
Tiger?
People didn't start naming their kids weird names until recently.
After Tiger.
Apple.
Stop, girl.
Why? Did you really?
Leave that alone.
Sorry, okay.
Leave that alone.
You're giving me trouble. You know I'm here on a trial basis.
It really is, though. Since 2000, that child names became like brand. Like it's your brand. You're giving your child a brand when you name them. It's no longer like name them after someone. It's now, no, I'm going to give them a brand. That's what the names become.
No.
No?
We're not doing that. We don't. Sure? No, we're not. They tried to come at me with some of that. I'm not.
But why did you
come back to me here? Take this.
Why did you go from Joseph to Keyshawn though?
Because I just felt like Keyshawn was.
Was that your choice?
Absolutely. When I was in elementary, I was like in the. I want to say like the fourth grade. I'm like, no, man, I don't look like a Joe.
They weren't calling you Joey.
You don't look like a Joe. Keyshawn is way more fitting.
Hey, Joey.
No, I just,
first of all,
like that. You're definitely not a Joe.
No.
No.
No, not at all.
And I feel like the E thing is like. Has cultural differences.
Joey. Yeah, I just.
But that's what happened, though. Hey, Joey.
No.
No, Keyshawn is. No.
So you made that choice. It wasn't like your parents just called you that from day one, even though your first name was Joseph. They weren't doing that. Like
it depends on what my mother wanted, right?
Usually.
He was in
that's
trouble.
Usually how it works.
It could be Joe. It could be Key. It could be Keyshawn. It just depends on what your family members need from you. You know, if they need you to go downstairs and get something out of the refrigerator. It's Joe. Mm-hmm. When you get into trouble, it's Keyshawn. I mean, it just all depends. Cultural things, man.
I love it. I love learning things every day. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring this summer, you need Indeed. With Indeed, Instant Match, just post a sponsored job, and you'll immediately get a short list of quality candidates with nicknames whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Oh, we have no production. I thought we had production. We do. It's coming. Wait for it.
And now.
Now.
Win a day to lose by one and you lose by 30, still the same thing. Still lose. I can pick yourself up, your teammates up, and get them ready for game three.
Finds it to Tedekupo. Once again on the floor. Chris Middleton to start. Tedekupo and Middleton have all 30 of the points for the first quarter. Durant finds some space. Knocks it down. Durant fires a three. Bang! Holiday Spindle gets inside. Lance goes!
Win is a win. It doesn't matter if you win by 30, it doesn't matter if you win by one. If you can go back home and celebrate W, it was good.
So the Bucks get their win in game three to just, again, stay alive, because if you go down 0-3 in the NBA, you never come back. No team has ever done it, and you certainly didn't want to do that against the Nets. So they win game three. It was ugly, but they got it done, 86-83. Giannis with a big game. Chris Middleton arrived in the series for the first time. All that stuff had to happen, and it did. But the Nets had a terrible game offensively. But Kendrick Perkins joining us right now, as he will throughout the show, on the Goodyear Hotline. Perk, good morning. And let's begin with, I've seen you already regret picking the Bucks in this series. So I asked the guys this. I'm going to ask you the same. Did the Bucks get back in the series with this game, or did they show you nothing?
They did. They did show me something, and I think they are back in this series. And last night was important. But look, you can't play cute and sassy, okay? You can't play cute, sassy in the finesse game with this Brooklyn Nets team. You have to junk it up. And that's what the Bucks did last night. They made it ugly. They got physical. P.J. Tucker getting in Kevin Durant's face, talking noise. Like, that's what you have to do. You can't get up and down freely and try to hang with this Nets team. No, you got to play physical. You got to get it out the mud.
Perk, you picked the Bucks to win the series. How you feel after game three now?
You know what? I'm still torn. Key, I'm torn, okay? I'm not going to just jump all the way on Giannis' side. He still has a lot to prove. I don't believe that Kyrie Irving is going to go 9 for 22 from the field again. Look, the others, right, they didn't step up for the Brooklyn Nets. And rightfully so, role players do not play well on the road. They play well at home. So if the Milwaukee Bucks follow the same recipe that they did late in the fourth quarter or even during the fourth quarter, making the others beat you, right? And look, they waited a little bit too late for me, still having Brooke Lopez in that drop coverage. No, trap Kevin Durant. Trap Kyrie Irving. Make Bruce Brown make those floaters. Make Joe Harris make those big shots. Make Blake Griffin do something. You have to make the others beat you. If the Milwaukee Bucks follow that game plan in game four, they'll walk out with a victory.
Chris Middleton obviously had a big game. What changed for him from game one and two to three?
Well, he just started making shots. I mean, he started making shots. And look, Chris Middleton is a volume shooter, okay? He made tough contested shots. But I thought he did a great job of being aggressive early. He was attacking early. He was getting in his mid-post range, you know, pulling up, drawing fouls. He was getting into his bag. And all you have to do is see one of those shots go in. And he did that, and he just kept going. You could tell he had it on his mind that he was going to go down swinging. And I knew it was due time for him to have a good game because he had been struggling in game one and two. So I'm glad to see him get it going.
Perk. Hi, Perk. It's Monica.
Oh. What's up, Monica?
Listen, the last time we talked on Hoop Strings with the great Cassidy Hubbard, I said that the Nets just finna outscore everybody, and you said somebody's gonna have to defend them. You got one game where the Bucks were able to play defense. Do you think that they can keep the Nets under 90 points again? That's my issue. That ain't gonna happen. You just said Kyrie won't go 7 or 9 from 22 again.
I mean, they can if they have the right defensive scheme, right? Make the others beat you. Again, that's what I'm a harp on. Even when you look at game one, The Nets had over 100 points, but they had 107. This is a team that's used to putting up 120, 130, right? And the Bucks have the recipe. This is what I don't understand about the Milwaukee Bucks, especially Giannis, especially Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. Attack. Attack. Get stops and get out in transition. Attack in a pick and roll. Don't settle for jump shots. In game one, they had 70 points in the paint. This is what I go back to, Monica, is this. You got to make it a nasty game, okay? You got to get into these guys. You can't get up and play Rucker-style basketball against the Brooklyn Nets. You got to get physical. You got to put your hands on them. You got to get in their face. And I thought that Brook Lopez was the unsung hero in this game, the way that he protected the basket. He altered shots. He was huge. I kept telling myself, screaming at the television, I was like, Budenholzer, you might have to get him out the game and slide Giannis to the five for offensive purpose. But he kept anchoring the defense, so it's huge. And I think the Milwaukee Bucks got it in them to have another game like this. Now, would they hold them to 83 points? Probably not. But if you could hold them to under 100, and your offense could pick up even more and start knocking down shots and keep continually to get to the paint, I think they got a fair chance of winning game four.
Now, Perk, we've talked a lot about coaching in the NBA, and you know, you had your thoughts about Brad Stevens with the Celtics and the way the Celtics played. After the first two games of this series, all eyes were on Coach Bud, Mike Budenholzer, and really what his stats are going to be. Woj even talked about it beforehand. Now, we only got a minute, but we will have you back later on in the show. But just in like about 30 seconds, do you feel like he's coaching for his job in this series?
Yeah. To me, I think this is his last straw. He have to make it out of this series, otherwise they're going to find another coach, okay? Because the Milwaukee Bucks over the last 2 years, 3 years, they have dominated the regular season and come up short in the postseason. And with a team like this, the expectations at a minimum is to get to the finals. And if he don't reach that goal, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be smoke in the city.
Yeah, no, you definitely – it seems like all eyes on him. We'll have Perk back with us at 7:15. More, of course, on the NBA and on this series and also what we saw from Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz last night. Thanks, Perk. We'll see you in a few. So coming up, as I mentioned, he'll be back to rank top five big men. But coming up, why the best move for the Bears was the one they didn't make.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.